Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
The scripture reading this morning comes from 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Good morning. It is so good to be here with you today at the West Huntsville Church. We have enjoyed the weekend so very much. We have been discussing questions that need to be answered. And this morning, we're discussing perhaps the most important of all of them. Are you sure you're going to heaven? Are you confident about your salvation? I want you to think back with me this morning to before you obeyed the gospel. I want you to recall the moment when you first realized that you were lost. Can you remember that? How did you feel? How did you take it? Maybe you went home that night and you just tossed and turned and you felt sick inside and the acid churned in your stomach. Because friends, the thought that I will die lost and go to hell is a miserable burden to bear. Now I want you to think how you felt when you came out of the watery grave of baptism, knowing that your sins had been forgiven, knowing that you weren't going to go to hell, that you were going to go to heaven. It's such a relief and you're so happy. You know, I remember baptizing a man on one occasion before I was in the wheelchair, and you know, the preacher tries to stay dry, and so we put on the suit, and I remember this man. He came up and he was soaking wet, and he just grabbed me and he pulled me to him and he got me soaking wet and he yelled out from the baptistry and he said, "I wish I could die right now." It was weird. Never heard anything like that. But this man came from a rough background and he was expressing the relief that he felt at that moment. He didn't know that that was not the normal thing we did, to yell out from the baptistry. But he was happy. The burden was gone. But then you began to hear sermons about the possibility of apostasy. That is, a child of God can still lose his soul, and you begin to worry. And then you run across passages of Scripture like 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." And you see that and you think, the latter end is worse than the beginning? In the beginning I was lost, and now it's going to be worse, and you begin to worry. And you go to services and the preacher tells you, you've got to be perfect. At least that's the way you're translating it in your mind, and you begin to worry. And as a matter of fact, that sick feeling that you had before you obeyed the gospel starts creeping back in your life again. And there are some Christians who will come to services, and like we did this morning, they will sing Blessed Assurance. But in their hearts, they don't really have it. They don't really have confidence about their salvation. And there are some who, though they've been Christians for 20 years or 25 years, they have never been able to bring themselves to say, "I know that I am saved." Instead, they will use substitute terms like, "I hope I'm saved, I think I'm saved, perhaps I'm saved, maybe I'm saved." And some will go so far as to say, you can't really know that you're saved until you die or until the Lord comes again. And so as a result of that, they have never been able to say, "I know that if I die tonight, that heaven is going to be my home." And then you've got Christians who live in constant anxiety and frustration with regard to their relationship to God. They wake up in the morning worrying about it. They pillow their head at nights with the same sort of anxiety. And then you've got Christians who, though they are members of the church, they have never been able to forgive themselves for sins of the past. They're constantly digging around in the graveyard of past sins, and you'll hear them talk about a sin that they committed 25 or 30 or a half a century ago, and the way they talk about it, you'd think they did it yesterday. You see, it's that fresh in their minds. And consequently, many members of the Lord's church live in a constant state of frustration and anxiety with regard to their relationship to God. Brethren, may I suggest to you that there is a book in the Bible that was written to address this problem. There is a book of the Bible that has as its primary purpose giving Christians confidence in their salvation. In fact, every chapter of this book addresses this issue. Now, I want you to turn there this morning with me. The book is 1 John. And I want you to lay your eyes on this, because I don't want you to say, well, Don Blackwell said this. I want you to read it out of the Bible yourself, because the problem that I'm describing, I don't think is a unique one. Now, I want you to notice with me how John begins his book. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4, this is how John introduces it. John says, "And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full." Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is not God's desire for His children to walk around in constant fear and frustration and anxiety with regard to their souls. The Christian life is one where you ought to be able to confidently say, "I know I'm going to go to heaven." You ought to be able to sing, "Blessed assurance, and it is well with my soul," and really mean it. And so what we're going to do this morning is this. We're going to go through 1 John, and we're going to pick out one point from each chapter. One point that ought to give you blessed assurance. And if you're a person like I just described, who is always worrying about your soul, may I suggest to you that you read the book of 1 John once a week. Read it once a day. It takes 30 minutes to read it, because it is a book that will give you confidence. All right, I want you to watch with me. If you'll look at the screen, you're going to notice on your, let me see if I can do this without jumping ahead. I can't figure out how to use this thing. All right, if you'll look on the left, you will see the number. That is the chapter. On the right is going to be the verse. In the middle is the point. So this is going to come from 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. And the first point is going to be continual cleansing. Now let's read it together. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, brethren, the tenses in this verse are important. If we walk in the light, this is present active subjunctive. Literally, it means if you keep on walking in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. That is in the present tense. It is a constant process as long as you keep walking in the light, which reveals something rather interesting. And that is, listen to what I'm going to say, you can commit a sin while walking in the light. Now, I've said that before, and people have said, "What? You can't commit a sin while walking in the light?" And so I asked someone, he challenged me on that, and I said, "Do you believe that we're constantly being cleansed while we're walking in the light?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "If we can't sin, what are we being cleansed of?" Well, he didn't know the answer to that. Now, somebody says, "What are you getting at? What is the point that you're making?" Brethren, this is the point. Walking in the light does not mean that you have to be sinlessly perfect. In fact, if that's what you are thinking, read the very next verse. He says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." You are not going to be perfect, but that doesn't mean that you cannot be faithful. You see, some people have the idea that they wake up in the morning as a Christian and they're saved, and then maybe they have a sinful thought and they're lost, and they pray about it and they're saved, and then maybe they lust, and they're lost, and they pray about it and they're saved, and then maybe they, you know, say something that's gossipy and they're lost, and they pray about it and they're saved. And so in one day, they're saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost. And really, their salvation comes down, it is dependent on the luck of the draw that hopefully you die or the Lord comes again during one of those saved moments. I met a brother several years ago in Indiana. And he held this, what I call the save-loss mentality. And he argued that that's how it worked. And I said, brother, let me ask you a question. Let's say that there's a man who is a new convert. Let's say that man, he's baptized one night. He wakes up the next morning. Is he saved or is he lost? He said, well, he'd be saved. I said, let's say it's 7 o'clock in the morning. He commits some activity that's a sin. Doesn't matter what it is, but it's a sin. What would his condition be? He said, well, he'd be lost. I said, let's say he goes all day long, not even knowing it was a sin, but he goes to bed at night, 10 o'clock, and he prays, Lord, please forgive me if I've committed any sins today. He said, well, he'd be saved. I said, next morning, 7 o'clock, he does it again. He'd be lost. 10 o'clock, he prays, he'd be saved. Next morning, 7, he's lost. And I said, let's say this goes on for 6 months before he even knows it's a sin. He said, he believed that man would be lost all day and saved all night for those 6 months. Brethren, that is ridiculous. That is not what the Bible teaches. That's not what 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us. It is not the case. You know, there's an amazing passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin. Who is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin? I would suggest to you that he is the faithful man of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 who is doing his best to live right. He's doing his best to do right. He is a man. Does he stumble? Yes, he stumbles. Does he mess up? Of course he messes up, but he never gives up. When he goofs up, he's going to repent and he's going to fix it and he keeps on fighting. As soon as he knows he sinned, if he's walking in the light, he's going to go to God and take care of that because he's not comfortable in sin. But brethren, listen to this. The Bible says God does not impute sin to him. The word impute in the Greek is a word that means to mark up against. God will not mark up a sin against him. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not. Can I commit sin? Yes. Does the Lord impute it to me? No. You know, suppose a man obeys the gospel when he is 20 years old and he walks in the light until death takes him at the age of 80. For 60 years, this man keeps on trying. He is faithful. He's knocked down. He gets back up. He keeps confessing his sin because that's part of walking in the light. He never walks away. He never gives up. He stays walking in the light and pressing on. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to suggest to you that that man was saved when he was 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and in all the years in between. Why? Because he had the continual cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let me translate that. To those who are in Christ, you've obeyed the gospel. If you are walking in the light, there is no condemnation. Now somebody says, Don, that sounds like once saved, always saved. No, once saved, always saved is a false doctrine. Once saved, always saved teaches that if you are saved, there is nothing you can do to be lost. The Bible doesn't teach that. At any time, you can quit walking in the light and you will lose your soul. But the Bible does teach once saved, always saved, conditional upon walking in the light. If you keep walking in the light, you will remain in a saved condition. Now, how's that for blessed assurance? You want some more? Let's go to chapter 2 here. Look at chapter 2. I call this one perfect propitiation. I worked hard to make each one start with the same letter. Continual cleansing, perfect propitiation. Look at chapter 2. This is verses 1 and 2. This was a scripture reading this morning. John says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. You're trying to walk in the light, that you sin not. And if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Two words I want you to get: advocate and propitiation. What is an advocate? An advocate is one who pleads your case. A propitiation is something that fixes a problem. And so what he's telling us in chapter 2 and verse 1 is, don't live that way. Don't sin. Do your best to walk in the light. But when you do sin, I want you to know that you have an advocate, Jesus Christ, who's the propitiation, and he fixes the problem. And so he says, do your best to walk in the light, but the problem's going to be fixed if you're righteous. Several years ago, when I first became the director of GBN, I was living in Charleston, South Carolina, and GBN was in Chattanooga, Tennessee, technically just across the line in Georgia. And so on one occasion, I was driving from Charleston, and I drove to Chattanooga, and just as I was pulling in the GBN parking lot, I looked, and there were blue lights flashing in my rearview mirror. I got pulled over right in the GBN parking lot. He pulled me over. So anyway, he walks to the window, and I said, officer, what did I do? And he said, you turned right on red. And I said, I am sorry. I did not know that you could not turn right on red in Georgia. And he said, well, normally you can. He said, unless it's posted. And I said, well, I haven't seen it posted, and I come here all the time. And he said, we just put it up a couple of days ago. And I said, well, I come back and forth, and I said, I got a ticket. That's what happened. You don't need to know the whole. I got a ticket. So anyway, I found out that in the state of Georgia, you can hire a lawyer, and he will go to the judge and say something like this: your honor, my client's never had a ticket before in the state of Georgia. Would you be willing to throw it out and just let him pay the court cost, and it won't go on his record? Well, I like that. You know why? I didn't want it on my insurance. So I did that. I hired a lawyer. He went to the judge. The judge agreed, and he threw it out. It was sometime later, it occurred to me, that's the exact language of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. I had an advocate who fixed the situation, and it didn't go on my record. Why? Because I was walking in the light. Now, is it unconditional? No, it's not unconditional. In chapter 1, it is conditional upon what? Walking in the light. Chapter 2, is it unconditional? No, look at verses 3 and 4. It's conditional upon keeping the commandments. This is a person who has obeyed the gospel, and he's trying to be faithful to the Lord. Look at chapter 3. I called this one destroying the doubt. Now, I think I've got verses 20 and 21, but back up to verse 19 with me, if you would. Chapter 3 and verse 19. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Brethren, what is he talking about in verse 20 when he mentions our heart condemning us? This is written to a person who has doubts. Now that's our point, is destroying the doubts. Our heart condemning us. What he's saying is this: despite the assurances that we have as Christians, I know my own spiritual blemishes. I know my own spiritual frailty. And in light of that, sometimes I have doubts in my heart. You know what? God knew that was going to happen. The Holy Spirit knew that was going to happen. And you're not the first person to whom that has happened. And so the Lord says, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. I'll give you the Don Blackwell paraphrase of this. He's saying, you are doing your best to walk in the light, and you're still beating yourself up and having doubts. Stop worrying. God knows that. He wants you to know that you have continual cleansing. What's he doing here? He's destroying the doubt. Now listen to verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. That is, if you can get beyond the doubt, what you are left with is confidence. Now, again, there are conditions, because look at verse 19. And hereby we do know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. That is, you keep walking in the light and you should have confidence in your heart. Continual cleansing, perfect propitiation, destroying the doubt. Look at chapter 4, fixing the fear. Now, it's similar, but I want you to look at, we're going to start at verse 16 here. I've got 17, but 16. Did God know that his children would experience fear about the day of judgment? Of course he did. He knew that some of us would worry. He knew that some of us would have anxiety. He knew that some of us would be quite disturbed to think about the day of judgment arriving, and I might not be ready. So look at chapter 4 and verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe. I want you to count how many times he says love. We've come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected in us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, but whoever fears has not been perfected in love. In about 4 or 5 verses there, he mentions love 7 times. Brethren, what's he doing here? He's fixing the fear. When you understand the extreme love that God has for you, if you're willing to abide in that love, you have nothing to fear. Notice the New King James says, when you think about the day of judgment, you should have boldness, not worry. Boldness. I think the old King James says has confidence there. Not worry, confidence. Now, is it unconditional? No, it's not unconditional. Listen to chapter 5 and verse 3. Now, this is the love of God. Now, let me stop for a minute. Some people might think, he's one of those love preachers. Everything's okay because of love. Love just wipes everything away. Listen what he says. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. This is for a person who is trying to be faithful and walking in the light. Now, somebody reads that. We keep his commandments. Oh, I can't do it. They start worrying. I can't keep the commandments. Notice what he says in the next phrase. And his commandments are not burdensome. He is saying, this is not a burden that's too heavy to bear. You keep walking in the light. You can do this. God loves you. Christ is cleansing you. Don't be afraid of the day of judgment. Brethren, he's fixing the fear. You know, there is a very interesting passage in Luke chapter 1 and verse 6. It's about Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were the parents of John the Baptist. Listen what the Bible says. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Did Zechariah and Elizabeth ever sin? Yeah, but the Bible says they were righteous. Did they ever sin? Yes, but the Bible says they walked in all the commandments. Did they ever sin? Yes, but the Bible says they were blameless. How do you explain that? Let me show you my favorite verse in the Old Testament. It is 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 5. It's about King David. The Bible says this, David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now, did David ever sin? Yeah, David sinned a lot if you read the Old Testament. Let me read this again. David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything. How do you explain that? Except the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now, the matter of Uriah the Hittite is not just talking about the killing of Uriah, but it's that whole thing. It starts with lusting for Bathsheba, bringing her in, committing fornication, covering it up, killing Uriah. It's all of that. So what the Lord is telling us is this. When he looks down at the timeline of David's life, David always walked in the light. When he sinned, he complied with the commandments of the Old Testament, which involved the animal sacrifices and prayer. And by doing that, he always remained righteous. So when the Lord looked down, he said, David turned not aside from anything. He was always faithful in my sight. He said, but there's a period when he wasn't. What was that period? The matter of Uriah the Hittite. If David had died at any point, he would have been saved, except that time period. During that time period, if he had died, he would have gone to hell. Now, David fixes it eventually, and after that, the Lord says he was faithful again. You see, there was a system in the Old Testament whereby people could be righteous and blameless and holy. We live under a better system. If we will walk in the light, we will be faithful to the Lord. Some people think they're saved and lost, saved and lost. In the Old Testament, if a person was saved, he remained saved if he complied with the animal sacrifices. You think every time a person sinned in the Old Testament, he had to grab a lamb and go running to the priest, and if he had a heart attack and fell down on the way, he was going to be lost because he didn't make it to the priest in time. That's not the way the system worked. Some people think that God is sitting in hell just waiting to zap you into hell, like he's this ogre waiting for you to mess up. And that's not it. The Lord has put together a good system, a solid system, because he wants us to go to heaven. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Let's go to chapter 5. I got to pick up the pace here. Complete confidence. Brethren, John opens this book by saying, I'm writing to you that your joy can be full. I want to tell you a secret. Your joy cannot be full if you believe saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost. You know how I know that? Because I used to think that way. And I would worry myself to death. All through the day, I would be praying, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Lord, please forgive me. Lord, please forgive me. Maybe I committed a sin and I don't even know it, a sin of ignorance. Lord, please forgive me. I would say it 100 times a day. My joy was not full. I was terrified because I had that mentality. Now, John begins and he says, I'm writing this to you so that your joy will be full, so that you can have confidence. Listen how he closes the book. Listen to chapter 5 and verse 13. These things I have written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Brethren, can you know that you have eternal life? Yes. John doesn't say yes. He doesn't say hope. He doesn't say, well, wait and see. He says, you can know. Now, how can you know? He says, these things I have written unto you. You know, you could get a big table and you could put people of different faiths. You could get a Mormon and a Jehovah's Witness and a Baptist and a Catholic and whatever. You get all these different people and you would ask each one, do you know that you're saved? He would say, yes. Do you know that you're saved? Yes. Do you know that you're saved? Yes. How do you know? He would say, I feel it. And yet, each one would say, well, I think he's lost, he's lost, he's lost, he's lost, he's lost. Each one feels that he's saved, and yet each other thinks that they're lost. How can you know that you're saved? See what John says? These things I have written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. The only way that you can know that you have salvation is by the written word of God. I remember when I was in the Air Force, my boss called me into his office one day and he said, Blackwell, come in here. He was a very, very evangelistic Baptist. And he called me in there and he said, Blackwell, do you know that you're saved? And I said, Sergeant Anderson, I do know that I'm saved. And he said, how? And I said, I have complied with the gospel plan of salvation. I have learned what it says. I've complied with it. I've been washed in the blood. I said, Sergeant Anderson, do you know that you're saved? And he said, I do. And I said, how do you know? I'll never forget what he said. He put his hand on his heart and he said, from the time that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and I said the sinner's prayer, I have felt it inside. Friends, that's not how you know that you're saved. That group that I described at the table, each one would tell you that they feel it. The only way you know is by the written word of God. Brothers and sisters, we can have absolute confidence, but it has to be based on walking in the light and the written word of God. Now look at verse 18 of chapter 5, almost the very end. I know I'm getting long today. Look what he says. He says, we know that whoever is born of God, now who's that? It's a Christian, right? This is the new birth. This is Romans 6, 3 and 4. We've been buried in with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Whoever is born of God does not sin. Now, that doesn't mean that he never sins. That means that's not his practice anymore. How do I know? Keep reading. Whoever is born of God does not sin, but he that is born of God keeps himself. He's trying not to sin. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I buffet my body daily. Whoever is born of God does not sin. Whoever is born of God keeps himself. Now listen to the end. And the wicked one does not touch him. What does that mean? The devil can't get me. Why is that important? Because 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, the devil is walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But if I'm walking in the light, the devil can't get me. Brethren, you know, there is an interesting thing that happens in the Lord's church, because I think that we sometimes have done a good job of convincing people that they're lost, but we haven't done as good a job of convincing people that they're saved. And sometimes we will tell people, you need to come out of that denomination where they teach once saved, always saved, and come be a part of the Church of Christ, where we don't know if we're saved or not. I'm being facetious, but just a little bit, because it shouldn't be that way. If that's what you're teaching and that's what you're thinking, something is wrong. John says we can know that we have eternal life. Sometimes I preach this sermon in a gospel meeting, and people might think, well, that's not really an evangelistic sermon because it's for members of the church. I believe it's one of the most evangelistic sermons that I ever preach. Because what this book does is give you confidence. The type of confidence that soothes the yearning that God has put in the soul of every person. And see, the only way you can have this confidence, first, is to be in Christ. This is for people that have obeyed the gospel, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Once you are in Christ, you are walking in the light. You are doing your best to be faithful. When you mess up, you pray for forgiveness, because a man who's walking in light is not comfortable in sin. He's going to fix it when he knows it. But if he will walk that way and live that way and grow and study, he should have peace in his heart. The way I changed my thinking about this was from studying the book of 1 John. And Christianity is different to me now. It used to be if I made a trip, I was scared to death. What if I have an accident and I die and I'm in one of those lost moments? I worried about it all the time. I don't worry a bit. If I die on the way home today, then great. I mean, I'm not wishing that, but if I die on the way home, I'm not worried about it, because I've got peace in my heart that I'm going to go be with the Lord. Isn't that what we all want? Are you here this morning and you don't have that confidence? If so, why not? Are you confident that you're going to heaven? That's the question this morning. It starts by obeying the gospel. And then you need to walk in the light and be a faithful child of God. This morning, if you want to become a Christian by being baptized into Christ, we are ready to assist you. You can walk down at the invitation and there'll be someone here to help you. If you're Christian and you need to make a public confession for your sin because you know you haven't been walking in the light, you've got that opportunity, and we would be happy to pray for you. If you are here this morning and you know in your heart and you need to privately fix it, we encourage you to go to God and pray as a member of the Lord's church, fix it, and start walking in the light and have this peace and confidence. This morning, if we can help you, you need to respond to the Lord's invitation. We invite you to come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.